to a new dimension tonight, and I want to mention a few things, especially to my instructors. I want them to you can stay it anywhere you want. That I want to stick to teaching, no preaching. I heard that some of y'all was climbing the wall. We're not going to have that. I want line upon line. And so my instructors here, they're hearing me. I'm going to, you just can't do what I do no way. But I want instruction. I want y'all to, are y'all listening? I want instruction. We don't come here to have a good time, because we're too far behind to have a good time right now. We need to learn. We need to know what to do. You know what I'm saying? We need to know there's new turf. Sit down so y'all can see me. There's new turf and new territories that need to be covered in our generation. And I give God my word about this school that a person would not, and excuse the expression, leave here spiritually stupid. You're going to have some understanding to leave out of this school. You know how to carry yourself. You know how to carry the word. You know how to get people delivered, get people set free. You watching by internet now. I'm trying to get the number I have watching by internet, because I think we're going to go into a new dimension and a new direction in the school. Students, you're a student while you're at this school. You have to apply yourself. You have to focus. And you have to come out as a finished product. You understand? I want you to come out as a finished product. I don't want you to come out as somebody just came here and heard some good sounds. I want you to be able to stand your ground in spiritual things. It's easy, but yet it's hard. It's taught, but it has to be caught. Are you listening to me? So it's very important that while you're sacrificing your time to be here, that we don't waste your time. That there are things that the church do not know. There are things that ministers and ministries over the centuries have gone over, but they do not know how to produce evidence. Evidence is so important. And as an apostle, I'm very dogmatic about it tonight. Starting tonight, we're bringing on a new instructor for your prayer class, and she's not going to play. I think she have a dual function in her life. In her lecture, she's real smart. She's top of her class. She's sitting among us tonight. But she also has spiritual ability to humble herself and trust the Holy Ghost. She's one of the 8 intercessors that I have, and so she don't only teach prayer. She prays, so she might have y'all praying sometime. That'd be fine with me, because you have to develop yourself in those areas. She's not going to play. I know that's why the Lord chose her. Me and one of my sons talked about it. And what's the stand-up, Joanne? She's in here tonight. That's going to be your new prayer instructor. She's going to, Joanne, you just use all your abilities and yield to the Holy Spirit. And I want these men and women of ministries to know how to pray. I know you're going to do other researches and things. I know you got that in you. And we're going to take a little more seriousness and a little more, thank you, Joanne, a little more sacredness about this school. So tonight, you got your tablet for my class, right? I'm going to go back over some things with you about how the church have tried to make substitute for the supernatural power of God. They have done everything to try to make up for lack of evidence. They have tried to bring other things in to make it look good, but there's no substitute for the supernatural power of God. Right, we're talking about creative miracles. Yes. We're talking about signs. We're talking about wonders. And when Jesus preached the kingdom, that's exactly what he's talking about. If you find out that before he left, after his resurrection, he spent 40 days, Acts 1:3, talking about teaching the disciples about the kingdom of God, the power, and the glory. We'll find definition of all three of those, because I'm going back over some notes. First of all, let's start I want you to have a clear connotation of really what is the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Now we know in Luke 17, 20, 21, the kingdom come not by observation. We know it's an invisible kingdom. We know it's a spiritual kingdom. And we know that that kingdom resides on the inside of us, which carries the dominion of God, if we properly understand it. We're supposed to dominate. We're supposed to have enough power to activate the things of God. So let's look at the kingdom of God. First of all, it is the invisible divine government. It is the invisible divine government. Now, in your notes, underline that word government, because it's virgin territory in ministers and ministries and in the church, government. The kingdom of God is the invisible divine government that is established on earth when the will of his king has been carried out completely. Now, I'm going to give that to you again because I want you to know this. I want you to know when somebody asks you what the kingdom, I want you to know personally what the kingdom of God is. It is the invisible divine government that is established on earth when the will of his king had been carried out completely. Do you have that class, or do I need to say it again? You have it? All right, all right. Make that a part. When you read the Bible, when you see Jesus preaching the kingdom, that's what he's preaching, an invisible divine government. And if we understand that government, then the government of this system will not be able to overrule us like sickness, death, lack, limitation. Give you, for instance, one of my members been with me quite some time, and he says to me, he says, I need to talk with you. He said, I know you teach the word of God, and I know we should catch it when you're ministering. I know you're putting it out there for us. He said, but it seemed like I've hit a ceiling, and I can't go no farther. He says, you know, I just need to talk to you a minute. Well, when I turn away from him, I told him, okay, when I turn away from him, the Lord said, there is no ceiling in the kingdom. See, it's only an imaginary ceiling that Satan has placed over you, because by divine intervention, that the kingdom of God has no limitations, it has no ceiling. So you see how you answer that question? There is no ceiling in the kingdom. It's somewhere you've got to a certain point that you have to press. You have to focus. You have to fight. You have to believe. At every level. Now, I'll tell you a little side thing every now and then. Every level you go to in ministry or in life as a Christian, you're going to take some extra effort. And the reason is, there's a process that has to go along with success. If success ever come without the process, you're not going to be able to handle it. Okay, so what may seem like hardship, what may seem like my prayer not working, my confession not working, my decrees are not working, it's working, but it's working on you more than the situation. Because it's no problem for God to give you what you want. But he want to make sure that when you get it, you will not lose ground spiritually by messing with it. Always know that this is a byproduct. I am God, the man product. And see, when you don't go through the process, the byproduct will become the man product. What you're going after will become, you seeing it? Will become the man product. Then you have thrown yourself out of socket with the kingdom. So therefore, your next move, Satan will give you a substitute, because God's not going to do it for you. Okay, that's a little side thing I'll tell you as a way to think about this government is the invisible kingdom. Now, the second thing about this kingdom, it is his administration influencing the earth. I like that. See, It's God's administration. It's God's, let's say, will, plan, purpose, focus, etc. Influencing, it is his administration influencing the earth. Now watch what it does if you handle it right. And the church know very little about this. Watch what it does when it handled right. Replacing its mundane operating system and order. See, this invisible divine government, when it's established, it influencing the earth, and it's replacing its mundane worldly operating system and order. That's a mouthful, Claire. See, you see, when you know how to operate properly in the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, it's an invisible kingdom, it's a powerful kingdom. You'll find out in a few minutes three dynamics about it. That's why Jesus preached the kingdom, that's why he had so many miracles, had so many people following him, because he was bringing God's government. Within God's government is God's grace. Within God's government is God's goodness. Within that is his greatness. Are you listening to me? All right, okay. Within God's government are his gifts. I mean, when you talk about, boy gave me a definition of confirmed the other day. Confirmed means strengthened with new evidence. Yeah. Write that down. That's powerful, man. Confirmed. Confirmed means being strengthened with new evidence. And the problem is we don't have no new evidence. We historically talk about Peter, but we don't want to release you with that idea that this is what this school is about. This school is about new evidence.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Miracle and signs. One, we had a lady had what she had an iron in her neck, and she had to turn like this, you know, the seat thing, turn all the way around, and got the flowing in the spirit and the glory came, the manifested presence of God. I explained it. Came. And that iron turned into bone in her neck. She started doing this. She started hollering.
Yeah.
I mean, her neck. How many years? She said, good many years. And she started turning. The Holy Ghost took that thing and turned that thing back into bone. That way she can turn.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to be able to see in your ministry.
Yeah.
And he'll do it, but his government, you see, notice he says, it's a replacement. It's the substitute. You see psychology, science, man strategy, all those are substitute.
Yeah.
Entertainment, human effort, philosophy, you know, people just doing their thing, trying to make a change. But we're talking about supernatural changing things, supernaturally. So when the kingdom of God is functioning right, that invisible kingdom is functioning right, it replaced the worldly operating system in order. In other words, you know Satan, the god of this world, right? And so he has an order of darkness that he placed on this world system when Adam put the light out. Now, we as children of the kingdom, the church is a part of the kingdom. And we as children of the kingdom must have the revelation of the kingdom of God abilities and how to function in them that is on the inside of us. You know, we do it by faith.
Yes, sir.
But yet, we need to know how this kingdom can change. You can walk in a room, and because you're a part of this kingdom, you can change the whole atmosphere in that room. And Claire, this is what I'm aiming to do at this point. The Lord worked with me about, I need to send the church out. They need to know in the supermarket a miracle can happen any minute. And they need to be a lugging well of it. It's just another story. The kingdom of God, it is the lordship and dominion on earth of King Jesus. Manifested in a visible form. I love it. Can I tell you that again?
Yes,
Shall I give you three? I'll give you three. Then I give you, it is the invisible divine government that is established on earth when the will of its king had been carried out completely, class. Number two, it is his administration influencing the earth. Number three, replacing its mundane operating system and order. And the fourth thing I say to you about the kingdom of God, it is the lordship and dominion on earth of King Jesus manifested in a visible form. Now that's a precise definition of the kingdom of God. You need to study that. Now I'm going over some things I already give you. You might have had some of this on your test, but I'm giving it to you slower because I sort of preached it last time, and as of the night, the school changing. We're going to instruct you. You need to be instructed. You ain't come here to have no good time. Run around. All right, now, Matthew 6:13, open that in your Bible. Matthew 6:13, put it in your note. For Matthew 6:13 deal with three things that we're going to have to understand if we're going to be good steward of the ministry of God. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So that's three divine realms. Hello, class. That's three divine realms, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Notice they're all three, they are divine realms. They're divine realms that you can take into invisible, impossible territory. And you can dominate with them. The kingdom of power and the glory. First of all, you know the kingdom now. When you hear the word kingdom, I want you to think about one word, government. Divine government. Government. You know what government? Government run. Well, that's the kingdom of God that is in you is a government. It governs what happened in a given situation. Okay? The power is the ability which functioning in a word called the anointing. It's a Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38 aspect of overcoming satanic forces, overcoming worldly forces, overcoming self-made ideals, religious stuff, tradition, denomination. It's stronger than that. So these three realms, kingdom is government, power is ability. Now, listen, class, glory is not just present, because the presence of God is always with you, but most of the time you're not acknowledging it. See, the presence of God is insufficient just being with you. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean he's going to be with you all the time, right?
Yes, sir.
So God is with you. And then let me say this. We cannot operate in the kingdom by feeling or by emotion. Because your body and your soul will lie to you and say God not with you. And sometimes we're not paying attention and our body is in control instead of our spirit. Or our soul is in control instead of our spirit. So that's why we have to feed on the word and acknowledge, keep acknowledging that the Lord is with me. All right, now, so I said that to say this. We may have said that the glory is the presence of God, but I'm going to emphasize something that's very important. The glory is the manifested presence of God. In other words, so now you're going to have some surrendering. Listen, you're going to have some surrendering, and you're going to have some acknowledgement. Because, I mean, the presence of God is always there, but when one learns how to surrender, acknowledge, listen to me, and trust and speak and declare, yes, and decree some things by faith. Yes, that's when that kingdom will start functioning and start removing incurable, removing impossible, and removing stop signs and detour signs that Satan have made to say you can't go where you're going.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So the kingdom of God, back to Luke 17, 20, 21, that you have on the inside of you is a powerful kingdom. But the church have not known Satan have given a substitute for the kingdom.
Right.
Because he knows. He knows what you have on the inside of you. But that's the problem is you have to know. And so the body of Christ at large, we probably can go to many churches and they couldn't explain the government, the powers, the ability found in God. The glory is the manifested presence of God. So here's the essence of Jesus' teaching. The essence, I mean the man forte of Jesus' teaching is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yeah, in Matthew 4:23, one time he was preaching and many was healed because they say he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
You have to be a student to preach the gospel of the kingdom. You have to understand what the gospel of the kingdom is. And you have to know that there's a power that functions in the gospel. There's a government and a power and a glory, which is the manifest presence of God, which creative miracles, signs, wonders, and supernatural things happen if you're preaching the kingdom. All right? So the essence of Jesus' teaching is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So what that means, if that's the essence of Jesus' teaching, what about us? Now, what makes this so important, this kingdom teaching? You know, because we have kingdom, people come out and they've created cults, and then they call it kingdom, and they call it discipleship. One of the things I told my church on Sunday when I was teaching about the believer's supernatural authority, in reading that, about studying for that, the Lord says, just being a believer, you can't have that authority.
Oh, wow.
He said, I sent out 70 disciples. Mm-hmm. So you can be a believer, a member, have a membership, and have a fellowship,
yes,
and never walk into discipleship.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the words I learned many years ago about disciple is a learner.
Yeah.
It's a pupil. He won't know more. And so Jesus was talking to the disciples. So a lot of authority of the kingdom is not on display in our life because we run in 70% of our life, give God 30%.
Yeah, right.
See what I'm saying? You got members, right?
Yes, sir.
You got members?
Yes, sir.
You know members.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right. We all got members, you see. And so they, I mean, you can't even govern them because they got their own way. So you just got to go on and feed the one who be there. It's a remnant that have the church standing.
Yes,
right. It's not no crowd having the church standing, okay? All right, now so in Act 1, now then Jesus spent about 40 days teaching his disciples about the kingdom. What a crucial moment. Now Jesus had risen from the dead. He don't have more than 40 days left. I guess he would choose one of the greatest subjects that he wanted to leave in the heart of the people. Look in Acts 1:3. I think it's Acts 1:3. He spent, the kingdom subject must be important because this man have risen from the dead and about to leave in 40 days.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me he would want to say something to his disciples to hold them.
Right.
Or that they may be able to finish carrying out what he started.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Right.
And so he, notice that the third verse, isn't it?
He
spent them whole 40 days. He didn't take no other subject. He spent them whole 40 days teaching them about the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And just a little information I've given you, Doug, in this few minutes, you're way ahead of the crowd. You're way ahead of most Christians. Because they don't know this. Because I know I went many years myself, didn't know it. As a preacher. See, I knew about the four ministry gift, but I didn't know that the kingdom had a government as strong as apostolically the Lord is teaching it now. Are you still with me, Clint? So now, let's dig a little deeper. Now, in teaching them about the kingdom, here was his goal. Was to prepare them for the day when they would receive the power. See, they had to know about government because power without government is like a man having a gun, not knowing who to shoot.
Yeah.
might shoot his own crazy self. You know what I'm saying? see, so this power, so many Christians are powerless because they don't understand government. And because they don't understand government, you can't trust them with power. Now, the two words I said, and I need to go back over this word, surrendering. All right. You see me, class? Surrendering. And then, on the other hand, acknowledging. Surrendering to God all the time, and all the time acknowledging God. You can't go wrong now. You got to teach people how to teach them to surrender.
Yes, sir.
I can't do this. I can't handle this. Reading Apostle Paul so great, he surrendered to grace.
Yes.
And so he gave all the accountability. And when he talked grace, he talking to finished work. He talking to blood. He talking to crucifixion. He talking to resurrection. He talking to ascension. He talking to high priest Jesus praying for me.
Yes, sir.
He talking about praying in the spirit. So he surrendered to grace. He surrendered to grace. Surrendered to grace. That's why the enemy won't want to teach us sloppy grace.
Wow.
See, he don't want us to know. I'm going to get back into grace. He don't want us to know the real power of grace. But the Apostle Paul had a foundation of grace.
Yeah.
Then Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, he talks about a foundation of grace on his feet. And he said everything he did was by the grace of God. Yeah, God did it, you see. So now, his goal was to prepare them. So if his goal was to prepare them, our goal in this school is to prepare you. That they will receive power. An event that took place in Acts chapter 2. See, you remember? They received the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. You remember Peter turning to another man? He was a coward. Now he's a conqueror. He denied Christ. Now he's turning the city upside down with Christ right in the face of religious folk.
Yes,
because what? He had received this power. Remember he told them in Acts. Now he taught them the kingdom in the third verse. And they want to know when the kingdom will come at all. They want to know the data. But the eighth verse he told them what to do. Acts 1:8. You know what he told them in Acts 1:8? How many of y'all know what he told them in Acts 1:8? Hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, class. Hold up. Now, I told the church, I'm going to start asking questions to the church. I got my members on their toes now. I said, when I finish, I'm asking anybody I want a question. Because I'm tired of coming to Sunday school. Now, if you don't know it, just ante up. But do you know what Acts 1:8 says? Let me see the Yasser's hand up. Now, if you don't raise your hand if you don't know. And then don't holler until you knew when I tell you. All right, so that's adding them on five or six people out of the whole class. Acts 1:8.
Yeah.
Acts 1:8. Now, you're not going to be able to, wait a minute, don't look now. You're not going to be able to operate in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. See, the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Yes, sir.
The kingdom has the power and the glory go with it.
Yeah.
Now, you have some idea what I'm talking about. Look at Acts 1:8 now. Look at it. Look at Acts 1:8. This is so important. The third verse he taught about the kingdom.
Right.
Now, Acts 1:8 now. Look at it.
Yes,
you need to know this. You talking about, I know it. No, you don't know it. No, you don't. Talk to me, class.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is so important. Y'all got to focus now. Y'all going to have to know Acts 1:8.
Yes, yes.
You're going to flunk and you're going another semester. You need to know this. You need to know Matthew 6:33. What did it say? Who know? Don't tell me. Who? What Matthew 6:33 said? Who knows Matthew 6:33? Don't put your hand up now if you don't know it now. I'm going to call on somebody. What did it say, girl, in that paper? And all these things will be added to you, right? You got it. See? So it's so important that certain verses you just need to know.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm not gonna call you a whole Bible on your night, but as many as receive him, to them he give the power to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
See, that power, you're gonna have to have that power. That power is God's ability.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? So in the second chapter they received that power, right?
Yes.
Then you look. Following in chapter 3, by the manifestation of God's glory, because that boy, that lamb man, in chapter 3, after they got the power, after they got the teaching of the kingdom, after they got the power, then now manifestation started taking place, because in the second chapter they got the power, you know, and the people were acting according. But in the third chapter, in the lamb man, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man got up. That was a manifestation of the glory of God. Now we see little of that in the church. We see little of that in the church. So Jesus taught his disciples about what? The kingdom, right?
Yes,
the kingdom. Say the kingdom.
The kingdom.
Three times.
The kingdom.
The kingdom. Okay, now. Read back. Who ready to read back to me what the kingdom is? Put your hand up quick. Put your hand up quick. Y'all scared. All right, got it. Come on. Read it back to me.
The invisible divine government that is established on earth when the will of its king has been carried out completely. God's administration influencing the earth, replacing its mundane, worldly operating system and order. The lordship and dominion on earth of King Jesus manifested in a visible form.
All right, you heard that. She got it down almost identically. See, now that's what you're going to have to do in this class. And that's what you're going to have to do in your composition tab, because I'll come here and pick them up. And you set you don't set you into sucking air. I have to know that you know something when you leave here. All right, that's fair enough, Claire. I don't care if it's not fair. I'm not here trying to be fair. You're paying your money. You're spending your time. You're making sacrifice. You don't just want a piece of paper. Terrible, just a piece of paper. Then you come down to teach or preach. You can't do nothing but wave the paper. Now, here's a word, and I see this all often, and never try to belittle anybody. I'm just trying to focus and show some things forward, okay? I don't want to belittle nobody, but sometimes people need to be hit so they can know that they're not doing nothing. So today, some ministers teach much about God's kingdom, but with little demonstration of his power. That's why I understand a man called me, you want to preach? He wrote a book on prosperity, and he just asked 2 months ago a man to send him some money. I mean, you ain't got no business writing on prosperity. You ain't got nothing.
Wow.
You don't have a revelation. You don't have a visitation. You don't have a manifestation. You just read something and want to rewrite it.
Yeah.
It's like the man in Texas. Yeah. My first round I'm making on teaching the glory and the apostolically, and I leave out, teach some new principles, leave out, and this man come behind me and he gonna give a replay, recap. He can't recap what I said. How you gonna recap it? I just come out. But what happened? He just what money did. He just what she did now. Money could have that down right, but is she gonna get it in her heart? Is she gonna get it as a revelation instead of information? Oh, class. See, you cannot have only information about the kingdom. It's so strong. We're going to talk about structure and order and vision in a few minutes. It's so strong. Kingdom business is based on revelation. Now, you have information. You got to have that information. But then you permit the Holy Spirit to deposit in your spirit, and it become a revelation. It become the revealed will of God. It become a rhema word to you, a present day word to you. And that's where, you know, we don't talk about him a lot, but that's where the Holy Spirit come in at. See, Holy Spirit is take the things of God and show it to you. See, you can't read the things of God. The Holy Spirit take what you read and show it to you.
Yes, sir.
School can't take the Holy Spirit place.
Right. Wow. Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit has to show it to you. See, I don't see it. Well, the Holy Spirit, stay there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll show it to you.
Yes, sir.
See? We must know. You cannot study the kingdom of God by self-help. That's what you're trying to get rid of, self. Self won't help with this. self-hinder.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Die. Die. God only revealed himself to dead men.
Yes, sir.
If you stay alive, you're going to be casting pearls to swine.
Wow.
That which is holy to dogs. Because as long as you're still alive, you're going to go back and eat your own vomit. Surrender, focus, acknowledge, admit, God, I can't do this. Rid yourself of pride. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he didn't say he exalt you tomorrow, but he exalt you in due season. What that due season is, when you're ready for it. You're here getting ready for something. You're getting ready not to live a normal life. My desire for you to be impregnated with an extraordinary life when you leave the school. And I don't care if you lose the paper. See. Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom because he understood that to be effective witnesses in a hostile world, they would need the power. Watch what else he knew. He knew that the government and the religious leader of the day, oh, how Leroy know, would do anything to eliminate any evidence left behind that might prove his resurrection. I'm going to go over that again, see. And see, religious folks and the devil folk, you need power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In this business, you need power. You need ability. You need God's ability. That's why Jesus said, look, don't leave. No, wait, don't leave. They were looking for information. Jesus said, no, y'all don't need no information right now. They want to know something that was in the hand. When the kingdom going to come? He said, you don't need no information right now. You need power. That's what he told them.
Yes,
you see, you read it, they're going to ask for information.
Right.
Yes,
you know, information, people, information. This is an information world.
Yeah.
No. You need power that will produce a turning of revelation in you that you begin to see the invisible and do the impossible.
Yes, sir.
That's real, you know. That's,
yes, sir.
We say that, you know. We say it as a coined phrase.
Right.
In the church, but I'm talking about in reality now, as we study this kingdom, this power, and this glory, and know how to translate from let faith access the anointing and faith access the glory, then know how to make the transition from the anointing to the glory. All of them can work in the supernatural realm. Matter of fact, in Carolina, I had to back from the glory because the people in the glory was there. But I wasn't satisfied, and the Holy Ghost wasn't satisfied, so he had me to back to the anointing.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, what, two or three people couldn't hear in the ear, got the hearing?
Yes, sir.
I laid hand on the ear by direction of the Lord, see.
Right.
The Lord, in essence, he said, I came, but they didn't know how to receive me like that. They need a man to touch the ground and touch him.
Yeah.
When I touched him, one way ear came over.
Yes,
fell out, ear came over. And so, can I take your little side, you know? When you're in a service, you have to learn how to read the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
He've already read you.
Yes, sir.
He's read the congregation you're dealing with.
Right.
Right now, he's reading you right now. As I instruct, he's reading you. And he's seeing what you need. And then he'll tell me what to say.
Yes, sir. Right.
Even though I got these notes, but he'll tell me what to say.
Right.
Because it'll touch your button.
Yes.
And you might be dealing with something. Even in school, we want to deal with that too. You'll get a relief. Because you got to have a relief to hear. You can't hear under pressure.
Right.
So I know we got the everyday affairs we got to go through, you know. So he knew that Satan has a government too. And the religious leaders of the day would do anything to eliminate Watch this now. Any evidence. Now, they don't have much to do today. Satan, government, and religious leaders don't have much to do today because the real Christian church looks just like a religious leader.
Right.
But we're about to pull off. You see what I'm saying? We're about to pull off and go into the real dimension of the New Testament church where they had action going on all the time that man couldn't explain. I mean, we got over 2,000 manifestations in the last 3.5 months. The boy went to India. Now he knows what to do. He's been going to India, nothing happened. But now he come back with 200-something miracles and manifestations. I read them all. So that's one of Satan's job. He want to eliminate the evidence that he has lost. And we need a breed knowing how to operate in the kingdom, in the power, and in the glory. In the kingdom, in the power, and in the glory. You design to operate in kingdom power, kingdom government, and kingdom glory. Let's get it right away. Kingdom government, kingdom power, and kingdom glory will manifest kingdom manifestation of creative miracles, signs, and wonders. The very self-same thing Jesus said when he got up from the grave. He said, go ye into all the world. Yes, and he told you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Yes, sir. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yes, sir. Now, let's find out to help us to get a grip. What generates the revelation of the kingdom in the believer? There's three things I'm going to talk about. What you can practice these things. I love it. You can practice the word. What generates the revelation of the kingdom in the believer? Now, I have to say this. Notice what I didn't say. What generates the information of the kingdom in the believer? We got a lot of information. But, and you know, revelation and information are not the same thing. Right. Revelation is God opening, unfolding things, supernatural, things in the spirit realm that you can see, that a natural man can't see. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:14 said, a natural man, he don't know the things of the Lord. But that same chapter is a real revealing chapter. Also in Ephesians 1:17 is a real revealing aspect of the importance of illumination, revelation, and inspiration. Write it down. Revelation, illumination, and inspiration, because the Bible called the Word of God the inspired Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about much revelation. And the Bible said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, or the light bulb of the Lord, where he gives you illumination. And it boiled down to one word. You ready? Light. Light. I can see. I was blind, but now I can see. I'm talking about seeing things as God see it.
Yes,
God revealed things for us to see as he see.
Yes,
and God always see the victory.
Yes, sir.
The triumph. The conquering of things. It doesn't bother him. Because he has the divine solution for everything.
Yes,
if he don't have it, he create it.
Yes, sir.
He make it, you see.
Yes,
yeah, see. See, I won't get there. What do I do with this? So let's look at these three things that generate the revelation of the kingdom in the believer. Now, the kingdom of God is within you. I think that's the 21st verse said it, right? Luke 17:21. The kingdom of God is within you. It doesn't come by observation. It comes by revelation. I love that. I never said that before. It's not by observation the kingdom worked. The kingdom worked by revelation. You know. In other words, naturally they can't cut you open and a doctor can see no kingdom. All he sees is gut. But in your spirit, man, he's in there.
Yes, sir.
And the doctor don't have the revelation, he only have the information of how your organ work, all right? All right, let's look at structure now. It's one of the ways we're gonna generate kingdom. A bit is on the inside of you, and the power and the glory go to working. The revelation of the kingdom produces within our spirits a knowledge of how to use God's authority. Whoa! We're talking about structure now. You got structure? You want structure? All right. The revelation of the kingdom produces, notice where it is now, within our spirits, a knowledge of how to use God's authority and how to submit to it. Hello?
Yes, sir.
See, so the kingdom works by revelation. And so, let me give you that again. The revelation of the kingdom produces within our spirits a knowledge of how to use God's authority and how to submit to it. You remember the man in the 8th chapter of Matthew, that centurion, he came for Jesus to get his servant healed. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. You know, no, you need to come to my house. He knew authority because he was under authority and he had men under him. See, one of the things I want to point out to my membership is you cannot function in authority unless you are under authority. And that was God's plan. God planned with government and the fivefold ministry to give. God planned run parallel with the army. And Joel talk about it. Every man was stepping in his own rank. That's when you got a powerful. That's why Gideon and the army was stopped from 32,000 down to 300 because they wasn't marching right. They wasn't paying attention. The Lord said, I don't need that many to do it. All I need is somebody where two or three are gathered in my name. See, all I need is somebody who follow orders. So that's when I stopped worrying a long time ago about how to make these people act right. You can't make them act right. You can't force the word on these people. So I take the one who are trained and go and do what I do. And they think they're doing it, but they're just riding. Yeah. I know that.
Right.
I know the pastor. I know the remnant of my church. I know who I can trust.
Yeah. Yes,
they'll be there for the work. I know that. I know that. I ain't stupid. Now, under the structure, without this knowledge, this revelation, such power may destroy people. So that's why I'll share with you now. That's why God created man. When God created man, it was a complete job. But when he brought him to earth, he had to make it. Because he had to take him through a process. And the process addresses his dependency upon God. Before he get where he going. Because if you ever get where he going, success will not work without a process. See, that's why Joshua 1:8 speaks of a process. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, that thou meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe the process. And that you be a part of the making of the success.
Yes, sir.
It's not all God. It's you and God. So now you know God did it, but you were with him.
Right.
So you know if you disattach yourself,
come on now.
You know you're going down. Because success going to overwhelm you.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm a very successful man.
Yes, sir.
In life, family, health, money, marriage. I'm very successful. But I came to a process,
yes,
so it can't get here.
Because
right.
If most ministers had money like I got, y'all wouldn't see me half it. They wouldn't see them half the time. They ain't coming out here messing around with you.
Yeah.
But the process let me know he cushioned me so I can function better.
Yeah.
And that's where you headed. If you pay attention while you're in school,
yes,
that's where you're headed.
Yes,
yeah, see, God got a lot of cushion.
Yes, sir.
But he ain't going to give it to you overnight.
Right.
You're going to ride the lug a while, baby, in water. And I remember the boy, that lug going to turn on you. If you don't know how to hold on, you're going under. All right, now, without knowledge, and you know the kingdom of God, look at 1 Corinthians 4:20. See, the kingdom of God is not word only, but power. So it's a dangerous kingdom if you don't know how to flow in it. See, it's not word only. See, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Got that? I want you to have that scripture under your belt. Here we go. Here we go with your personal life now. Here's something you can, this part of the structure of generating the revelation of the kingdom in you as a believer. Here you go with your personal life. Here's something that's going to be stated. And all of us are going to need this. The defeat of Satan can be understood only by revelation from the kingdom of God. You got something you want to work on? These notes will work on it. The defeat of Satan can be understood only by the revelation from the kingdom of God. Revelation of what? Government, ability, and manifestation. Government, see, government, the kingdom, ability, the power, manifestation is the glory. Now, when we finally understand this, what I just said before, we will see the undeniable of superiority of the kingdom of light each time it confronts the kingdom of darkness. Let me say it to you again now, because you see, I got to give you the whole thing now. The revelation of the kingdom produces within our spirit a knowledge, and we know it's a revelation knowledge, of how to use God's authority and how to submit to it. Without this knowledge, such power may destroy people. Got it? The defeat of Satan, listen to what we're saying, Claire. The defeat of Satan can be understood only by revelation from the kingdom of God. Revelation which includes government, ability, and manifestation. When we finally understand this, we will see the undeniable, now watch this, superiority of the kingdom of light each time it confront the kingdom of darkness. And as a minister, it's your assignment. Now, let's move from structure to order. Because we're talking about what generates, don't forget what we're talking about, what generates the revelation of the kingdom in the believer. We give you some structure now, order. Order cannot be established in the absence of government and authority. Whoa. In the absence of government and authority. Order can't be established. As Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. He was trying to establish the kingdom principles in those people. So there's no harm. Here's what happened. Without government and authority, chaos and disorder can become dangerous when faced with the power of God. Without them, chaos, without government authority. See, without government and authority. Let me read this again because I'm seeing this thing. Order can be established in the absence of government. Order cannot be established in the absence of government and authority, all right? Without them, chaos and disorder can become dangerous when faced with the power of God. See, the power of God without government and without authority will turn on you. The enemy will use it against you because you're going to be out there loose, say you leave out compassion. No, because this is something the Lord got to deal with me about, because I get so strong, I get so upset sometimes when people don't pay attention. And then, you know, you told them something 19 times, they don't pay attention. Then the Lord said, hey, boy, you better get some love in there. You better dig your own grave. So I had to humble myself and get back and say, I love you. I won't cut your head off, but I love you. All right, so we're talking about how to generate. Now, I want y'all to go over this, and I want y'all to meditate it, and I want y'all to pray over it. The revelation of the kingdom in the believer, structure I told you about, right? Talk about order. Now, I'm going to talk one more thing now, vision. Vision. And the Bible says, well, there's no vision to people perish, right? Well, there's no divine revelation from God. In the absence of vision, principles, character, and kingdom mentality. In the absence of vision, principles, character, that's a strong word, and a kingdom mentality. Supernatural power could be used for other things and not for the expansion of God's kingdom. So you got to have the vision, you got to have the principle, you got to have the character, and you got to have a kingdom mentality. Or you'll use that power for something else and destroy others and yourself. If you don't have that vision, you don't have that principles, you don't have the character and the kingdom mentality, the supernatural power could be used for other things and not for the expansion of God's kingdom. Supernatural power is used, write it down. Supernatural power is used for the expansion of a man? No. Expansion of a ministry? No. It is an expansion of God's kingdom. We don't need no superhero. We've had some heroes. The heroes are dying. The heroes are coming to the bottom. And God got a new breed rising up. They're going to give him the glory and give him the credit.
Yes, sir.
Now, class, now, let me see it. Without the kingdom vision, power can become useless or destructive. All right?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's another strong word we're going to deal with, purpose. Purpose. We dealt with order, what else we dealt with? We dealt with order, what else we dealt with? Structure, what else?
Vision.
Now we're going to deal with purpose. Give me number one. Number one is structure, right?
Yes,
number two is what?
Order.
All right, you give me something about structure. You, right, you have this green sweat on.
About structure?
Structure, yeah.
Yes,
and you give me something about, what's the next one?
Order.
Order.
Okay. Structure, the revelation of the kingdom produces.
What?
The revelation.
Yeah, okay, I hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The revelation of the kingdom produces within our spirit a knowledge of how to use God's authority and submit to it.
That's good. Wow, come on.
Order can't be established in the absence of government and authority. Without government and authority, chaos, disorder can become dangerous when faced with the power of God.
All right, that's good. That's good. That's good. Had another one, wasn't it? Vision. What's the next one? Vision. Huh?
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 Yes, sir. Vision.
What?
Vision.
What?
Vision.
What?
Vision is the absence of.
Take your time. No, you don't have to be nervous. I'm with you. I'm your friend.
The absence of vision, character, and a kingdom mandate, supernatural power can be used for other things and destroy others and yourself.
Right.
Not to expand the kingdom of God.
You got it, girl. You got it. That's good. That's good. That's good. I want y'all to know this. I'm talking about you've been to Evan Christian Word School of Ministry. What is the kingdom? I don't know what no kingdom is. They ain't taught me that. I just deal with purpose. Purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
All right. Knowledge or revelation of the kingdom must come first in our lives. Purpose, you see. Knowledge. Knowledge or revelation of the kingdom must come first in our lives. You got to know this before you know anything. Why? He said the kingdom of God is with you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I believe that's Romans 14:17. I'm not sure. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. But he keep talking about the kingdom. Kingdom. Now you have to have concept. If you're going to preach like Jesus, you got to know about the kingdom. That principle is still active today. We live in a society that is hostile toward the gospel. It is full of wickedness and iniquity, and without his power, we would never be able to succeed in it. See. Now, one thing, and I thank God, with my ignorance and my insufficiency, the sister never ran me in ministry. I'd walk into a meeting, you know, you got all these politicians, but I wouldn't let them displace the office of a pastor. You know, you just put me in a little corner away, I leave. You're not going to do that because I represent God's kingdom. And the kingdom is higher than this world system. So I never let them. You got churches do that, try to belittle you and stuff like that. And I found out you don't go where you're tolerated. You go where you're celebrated. And so my ministry has been revolutionized. A lot of places I don't go anymore. All right. What is the power of God? I got a Greek word here, D-Y-N-A-M-O. Dynamo. It's from the word dynamite. God's word, God's power is supernatural dynamite. It blow up satanic kingdom. Hallelujah. So the word also means powerful force. As a scripture, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. For the violent take it by force. Now I can't pronounce it P-O-T-E-N-C-Y. Potency. That's one of the words go with this. It's full of potential. In other words, it can produce a baby. Our inherent power, a powerful force, is the ability, listen, class, to perform miracles. Yes, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul.
Yes, sir.
In Acts 19. Even handkerchief was taken from his body, an apron. You heard of that, right?
Yes, sir.
It is explosive, dynamic, and inherent power of God, his supernatural ability. His supernatural ability. Say this, God's supernatural ability, abides in me. And tonight, I'm learning
how to release it
to expand the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Now, it is said, and I've seen this, many Christian circles exhibit a negative attitude toward this power. It's supernatural power because they can't explain it away. They can't understand it. But you can't. One thing I learned a long time ago, you can't fight results.
Right. Amen.
You know, I know this from this ministry. Many people fought this ministry, but it kept producing.
Yeah. Yes,
still producing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they fight it. That's why they're going to fight it. Many Christian circles exhibit a negative attitude toward this power because they have never personally experienced or witnessed a physical miracle or a supernatural occurrence.
Yes.
So they say, we've been in church 95 years, we know the Lord, and nothing like that ever happened here. See? His power is intrinsically tied to the message of the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preaching, everybody around him got healed. Because that the gospel, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why he said it? It's the power of God under salvation, under deliverance, under healing, under prosperity. That's what salvation is.
Yes, sir.
Everyone that believes is a power. Our gospel came not to you in word only. There in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, put that down. But in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. It is called a glorious gospel because it produced the glory. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's the glorious gospel because it released the glory. You will never enjoy your life until a moment God used you. You surrender and acknowledge and know your incapability and get right there and say, God, If you don't help me, I'm going to fall flat on my face.
Yes, sir.
And the Holy Spirit, just do what you want to do. I'm your instrument. I don't want to grieve you. I don't want to quench you. I don't want to resist you. I just want to flow with you. Now, I just see what you see. Now, a presence just came in this room. And see, when the presence comes, you have to know how to recognize it. See, I've been teaching for quite some time. But just a few minutes ago, just a few seconds ago, the presence of God came. The Holy Ghost came. They turn you into another man. Turn you into another woman. Because there's a flow start taking place, and the flood start taking place on the inside of you. And that kingdom start whining and moving. And anything could happen now. See. And that's the glory of God. Power of God. The ability of God. He used men and women. Now, you know, if you got your spiritual antenna up, you can get on the station. You know something going on, you know, beyond man ability, beyond this carpet. You know, something going on in you. And I love it. You get in the presence of God. Now we know how to manifest when the presence comes. Not just have a good time. Now, you can't, for lack of a better word, somebody help me discern this. You can't teach or practice the gospel and keep it from doing something. So even in this class. Yeah, you know, you can't teach about the kingdom and these principles and nothing don't happen. So you can get healed in this class. You can get your miracle. You can get your miracle right while you're sitting there. You see what I'm saying? See, because I felt a presence. I've sensed that presence many times. I know what it is. I know who he is. You know what I'm saying? And so his power is intrinsically tied to the message of the gospel. And this is the difference between Christianity and other religions that cannot produce a supernatural experience. God, tell me what kind of large church you're going to. I just talked with him a long time. He told me, man, you know, I said, I know there's a large church you're going to. I know the church, if I call the name, you know it. He talked about how long you've been there. I said, yes, sir. I hadn't seen my homeboy in a long time. We talked. And then finally I said, when's the last time you seen a miracle in that church? He said, oh, no, we ain't got a miracle in it. We got a song, they sing. Pastor Preview, ain't no miracle. Like the day of the miracles are gone, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was serious about it. And I didn't make no fun of it. I said, oh, okay. We don't see them. I said, last time you saw somebody got out of a wheelchair. See all these promises to these people in the wheelchair. Yeah, have faith you're going to get up one day.
Yeah.
And you ain't bold enough to go over there and jerk about an arm like Peter did and say, get up out of that chair.
Yeah.
See, but the Spirit of God had to tell you to do it. Then if you flow right, you don't even have to go over there. They'll come to you. I think about the lady who was in one of the services in one of the state I was in, and I kept telling her, I said, why y'all sitting down and the rest of the people standing up? She said, he don't know my leg. I can't hardly stand on my leg. When she asked him to get up, all the symptoms left. She testified. I got it in that book right there. That's because she got her healing when she got up. See, you can sit down at what you can do. You know what you can do in the natural.
Right.
But the supernatural is present. Now, I want you all to record this, and I want you all to hear this, and I want you all to know we're not belittling anything, but you're another breed, and you're in a supernatural school. And watch what happened here. And see, can you all agree? You all know about it. At present, countless churches are full of people who are sick and oppressed because they have replaced the power with other things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
50 women in white. Now what? You really don't need no woman day. We ain't no woman day. It's all our day. Yeah. Men day. You just mixing. Some church got men sitting on one side and women sitting on the other. Man, what are you crazy? But we sitting with a bunch of men. No, and just all the time. Ronald went to school with all men. Ronald said, man, they misused me. Ronald went to school. One of my ministers. He went to school. All through high school, with just men. Jesus. I'd have quit. Because my mind wasn't on no book, and I ain't going to school with a bunch of boys. I don't want to go to school with a bunch of boys. Ronald still hurt today because of that. Now, this will be a good definition for you to have, not to hurt nobody with it, but you need to know this. Religion is a result of not having an experience with God. And so you work hard with your structure because you don't have nothing else.
Yes, sir.
This is where I want to get Word of Life. This is where I want to get my partners. This is where I want to get to school. Just stay me up. The early church that Jesus left behind in the first century evangelized and established the kingdom using supernatural power as their primary tool. Ooh, I love that. Because I'm in the process of activating this church. George, we're not going to enjoy this thing unless we activate it. I mean, we can come in and get all the revelation we want, but unless we activate it, and in the book of Acts, 28 chapters, you got a miracle in every chapter. Why? The first century church was activated. There was a man named Bill Johnson. I read some of his book. Now, he got a wild one. You go to the coffee shop, you better not look like you got nothing. And then they get word of knowledge on them people. Say, ma'am, how long your knee been bothering you? Woman said, how you know that? And right there, they get the woman delivered. He taught them radical evangelize. And I'm going to do the same thing with this church. I might end up with 300, but I'm going to do the same thing. And we're going to do the same thing the 3,000 would have done. So now, since that, the kingdom of God have not evangelized and established by using most churches, by using supernatural power, it was what happened. But since the passing of time and influence of the spirit of witchcraft, the expectation of God's power or God's supernatural power has been abandoned, producing a need to seek idealized human tricks and talent as substitute for the miraculous. We got a lot of that, boy. So a substitute for the power of God, the spirit of witchcraft, is in operation when you find carnal habits and legalistic practice. Open your Bible to Galatians 3:5. I'll close when I get ready. Open the Bible to Galatians 3:5. You go to the bathroom, just go on the bathroom, you got to go. But don't be telling me close. I ain't got nothing to do with your bladder. You can go, we got restroom all the way around you. You put one finger up because you're coming back. Put two fingers up to baptize, that means I ain't coming back. In Galatians 3:5, you put them two fingers up, they ain't coming back. Say, Reverend, you didn't help me too long. Just do what they want to do. Ain't nothing about no government. What do you call that thing? Yeah, my dude. In Galatians 3:5 is a powerful verse. This verse helped me over the years. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law, by the union of faith. Now, these people had started out in the Spirit. They were saved. They were filled with the Spirit. Witnessed miracles, signs, and wonders. But witchcraft influenced them to follow unbiblical rules known, and corner ways. Yes, sir. Yeah. Right. Wow. Watch, Glad. This is the average church. And what caused them to lose sight of God's power. I'm so glad the Lord did it. I'm so glad the Lord told me. He said, no, I want you to preach the whole thing. I said, Lord, I got to tell them, boy, we've been preaching together. We've been doing good. We were completing each other. We ain't fighting each other. We're not competitive. Some boys, you know, they don't cross the line. They go right down, you know. He said, I want you to preach it. And so I said, all right, because I ain't messing with him, you know. All right, I preached. I called a boy and told him, I'd rather lose the boy than lose God. Let me tell you right now. I called him and told him, but then I wouldn't worry, but they all understood. And started preaching. And then these things start happening. I'm telling y'all, that wasn't pre-planned. I mean, what happened? How many happened that week? Right, 300, huh? I mean, that wasn't planned. I mean, I'm sitting here watching it like a movie. We all went to the movie. But it was a spiritual movie. This thing started happening, and the Holy Ghost started moving. And you know, one apostle who was like me, another apostle helped him. He knew faith and the anointing. You know, all over the world, I'm labored to have a strong anointing. One of the things that was sort of the other apostle didn't know. He was working with his anointing, getting people healed and had a blessed ministry. But then this apostle says, one step you're missing. And then he explained to him, as I've been explaining to you, the glory. That's the third part, the manifest presence of God. That's the glory, actually, class, and you need to make a note of this, is God's sovereignty and his initiative. All right? So it's him doing it. You ain't got nothing to do with it, per se. You got to back off. So the transition is you have to know when your time up. You have to know that. Yeah, you work and you let he use you in anointing and stuff. You operating by faith. But there he is now. And he's about to do some massive thing. And he's about to change some things that Satan thinks can't be changed. And that's what happened. That's what happened in camp meeting. That was happening in India when my son went, him and the team went. That would happen at his church, happening all over now. Because we're catching hold of it, we've caught that third part, and that's when things start breaking out. And that's when I start teaching on this real strong. Now, this is sad, but I'll read it. So they lost sight of God's power. And they say the church today is in a similar situation. Most Christian movement, regardless of denomination, begin with a supernatural revelation from God. But yet you have such a grand supernatural operation from God and move of God and end up in, I think it was $3 million worth of debt after the revival. The provision come with the revival. Something went wrong. You see what I'm saying? And what it is put this in your note, tuck this under your belt. God in the supernatural gives us unusual strategy. And supernatural timing, which is now. Which is supernatural timing, what is now, which is eternity. God is always now. Okay, all right. So they start out in the supernatural power, but how many of them still operating in the supernatural power? At some point, the human soul, oh my, isn't it this? At some point, the human soul became a substitute for the Holy Spirit. And see, that soul always edging for the over, be the overseer.
Right, right.
That's why it's so important that you know your soul consists of your emotion, reason, imagination, memory, and will. And you have to know if that soul is not functioning right, what's going to happen? Your thought process going to cause you to make decisions that going to cause you to act a certain way, to produce a habit that's going to change your character and send you in the wrong destination. Y'all heard all that? Y'all got it down? No, you ain't got it. All right, emotion. See, because most of the church been operating in the, let's have a good time. And they come in the emotion realm. That is a positive emotion. You get happy when you're praising God, but emotion without manifestation and demonstration is not positive. But emotion, reason, / intellect, imagination, memory, and will. Now, if you don't let your spirit guide you, if you don't let the king be in charge, the serving will take charge, your soul. then the slave gonna get in on it, your body. All right. All right. Now, when if you don't gather your thoughts properly and keep your mind renewed, your thoughts, decision, action, character, no, action, habit, character, and destiny. I see. So Romans 12:2 deal with all that. You got to keep your mind renewed, because you got to all that. You, that's why Hebrews 4:12 tell us the word of God is the thing that can handle that soul and all them different things. You know, and 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is very important, and you get caught in that thought life. So at some point, the human soul, through any one of those things I just said, became a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Vain imagination. That's in Romans 1. I've been reading Romans 1 about homosexuality and lesbianism and all that stuff and ungodly people. They have a vain imagination. They're in error. They refuse the knowledge of God. And that's why they end up in their mess. I know some was tricked. You have to help them out. You know, young boys, young girls get tricked at an early age. And you have to help them. You have to work with them. Kick them. Work with them. Pull them. Tell them the truth.
Yes, sir.
There's no such thing that the power can't be broken.
That's right.
So let us recall that a man is a spirit, who has a soul, and live in a body. Now the soul has legitimate function, but it cannot take the place of the spirit.
Right.
You got to think. I hope you thought to turn on 22 when you got to the red light, because you'll be up in the river somewhere. You want to just keep driving, you'll go across the river. Yes. Here is a, what time is it? 8:05. Here, when people begin to put their trust in their own abilities and strength, they move away from the spirit and toward the soul. Which include, watch me, intellect and emotion. Then a substitution take place in which religion take over for spiritual reality. And they'll fight you till they fall, boy. But religious folks are strong in religion. You have to just be as kind as you can and walk away. All right, I'm going to give you one substitute. Yeah, I got about 7 or 8 of them. Here's some common substitute for the supernatural. Number one on the list is theology. And what basis of theology? It's lacking inspiration from the Holy Spirit. It's a theory. My wife got the definition of theories or something. Say, what is the book? Well, I need to call up to give me that. She loves to tell that thing. Call up and ask her what it is. What a theory. That's how I say it. What a theory. She'll laugh. But it's lacking inspiration from the Holy Spirit, and it's replaced revelation. That's what theology is. Theology is a man studying God with his human mind and reasoning. Now, you're going to have to use your mind to study. And you can, the Bible says, come let us reason together. But watch this. This is a proper way to study him, but in order for it to be effective, man needs the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
See?
Yes, sir.
So there must be balance, the knowledge he received from studying the word with the knowledge he gets from the Holy Spirit. This combination of the Spirit and the word is what transforms our life. Now, for lack of, we're actually working on something the church don't talk about, but this school and my ministry and the apostolic ministry in the LTMA, we're working on transformation. Yeah. In other words, that your spirit, your soul, and your body will be in line with the will of God.
Yes, sir.
So if you go backward now, your health,
right,
your thought life,
right,
and your anointing.
Right.
See. Because if it's not possible for it to be done, we'll have to take 1 Thessalonians 5:23 out of the Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, along with that class, along with this type of revelation, along with this type of insight, the church can stop living like a dog.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Ungodly living.
Yes.
We can bring sanctification,
yes,
and holiness,
yes,
back,
yes,
into the church.
Yes,
you know. Now, you know, I was talking to some of my young kids. Oh, my staff. You know, we was all in the same room, and I was telling them how much I love to acknowledge God all the time. And I told them, I said, look now, I'm 68 now, but I've been doing that since I was 26.
Yes, sir.
See, because somebody said, well, you 68, you know, so, no, baby. I've been doing this since I was 26.
Yes, sir.
It's something that God gave me. I asked for it, he gave it to me.
Yes,
to love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and might, and never get him off my mind.
Yes, sir.
That is a tremendous life.
Yes,
it's a good life to live, you know. You have to deal with things like anybody else, but yet there's an awareness all the time. Now, I told you how sharp. I said, how long I've been up here? What's your mama say, theory?
Supposition based on the ignorance of the subject under discussion.
A supposition
based on the ignorance
of the subject
under discussion.
Yeah, she'll bring it up here now and then. Yeah. All right, class, did you see, you know, we're talking about the kingdom now. We said a lot of things about the kingdom of God. The Bible, the kingdom is a master subject in the Bible, okay? I want you to have a kingdom mentality, a kingdom anointing, a kingdom awareness. And when that happens, you're going to come to the point that you definitely know nothing is impossible. No ceiling on your life. No ceiling on your ministry. And I shared with you also about the process. See, some people can't stand to go through the process. They make a false move before the process has finished. And so they stumble the rest of their life. You know, I had set my mind to be with Reverend Dorville as long as it took. Serve him. And the Lord knew my mind, so that's why God sent me to that funeral at wake that night, and I spoke a few words, and the woman caught up to me and said, where are you from? I told her I was from Guyana. She said, would you come preach for us sometime? I said, ma'am, you the pastor? She said, no, I'm not the pastor. I said, well, he need to ask me to come preach. She said, I knew that much too. That woman's still with me today. She's my secretary. Thank God the road and them computers started coming out. She came to me and said, look, I'd serve you as far as I'm going to do. Now I'm retiring. You get your secretary. But she's still with me today. If you wait on your timing. Now, it's very easy to be around somebody like me or one of my sons or one of my daughters who ministry and think you can do that. And you jump the gun and you go out there and try to start something and you'll be a failure all your life. I see it over and over again. I know God's sending some people out. Don't get me wrong now. But I want to put a little fear on your tail so you know that it takes God leadership to be successful.
Yes, sir.
And always remember, you cannot steal the anointed. You have to serve for the anointed. You can't steal it. You know, I'm going to get up on that. I'm going to get it. No, you ain't getting it. I had a man put my hand on his head. He ain't got nothing. Because he wouldn't admit he wanted it. So he's trying to make a deal for it. He took my hand and put on his head. And nothing came out. It's by submission. Now, my instructors heard me. They don't have nothing to be feared about, but I want teaching. Like, so this was teaching tonight, wasn't it? Huh? That's what I want. So that means they got to study. They got to get themselves together before we get in them classroom. Because I'm going to walk in them classrooms sometime myself. Because the school got to turn out people who are effective.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You got it. I know sometimes you come here, some of you come from work, you may be a little tired. Now, I understand that. I went to school. I went to three different, two schools, I believe. And I know what it is getting off a job, trying to get to that school, and then the instructor giving a lot of lessons, you know. But just what you've heard tonight in this class, if you go over that and let it drop in your spirit and renew your mind, you'll be a giant to the average Christian already. Then you got to go to your other class. You're still learning some other things, all right? Any question about what I've talked about tonight? Any question? You got a sound judgment of what the kingdom of God is, how you build it, structure, order, vision, and purpose. Structure, order, vision, and purpose. And you got to constantly build it. You understand? Kingdom is government, power is ability. The glory is not just his presence, it's his manifested presence. See, his presence is always with you. His presence with you whether you feel it or not. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's always with you. What make his presence manifestable, if it's such a word, is surrendering and consistent acknowledging that the Lord is with me. And he's with me for a reason. To confirm, to strengthen his word with new evidence by miracles, signs, and wonders. Okay? So you read those notes real good. Well, take it from here. I have a lot of things that, just like that, I'm aiming to pump it into you just like that. I remember one time in our club, they were trying to get me to settle down something because I was a hooper, you know. I jumped from one side of the pulpit. I got it from my pastor. I jump this high, when the Spirit hit me, I just jump. And so they were trying to get me to settle down. The man still with me, Charles Mitchell, he's one of my right-hand men. He's still with me, 80-something years old, you don't want me to tell you, but he's in good shape. He the man I was with that night, went out to eat. I ain't had a quarter, boy. They won't go out to eat. And I said to them, I said, Lord, if Charles don't pay this ticket, we all going to wash dishes tonight because I ain't got a quarter. See, people don't know the days you come through.
Yes, sir.
And boy, when Charles said, give me that ticket. There wasn't no argument. I said, here you go, Brother Charles. I was so glad. But Charles knew what I was trying to make a transition from being a hooping Baptist to teach. So Charles, he eased up to me and said, why don't you get your stool and sit down on it? In other words, he thought if I sat down, I wouldn't get all riled up. You know? Shoot, I come up off the stool, man. I live out and I said, hey! Finally, we made a little transition anyway. All right, God bless you. And we'll study intellect, what a problem intellect could be. We'll study the problem of psychology and psychiatrists. We'll study what the problem with man-made program have replaced the leading of the Holy Spirit. We'll study eloquence, replacing the demonstration of power. You know, Paul talked about the First Corinthians. We'll study, this is one good one here, administrators replace apostles and prophets. You know, in most churches, the top person is the administrator. We're going to deal with rhythm, logic, and carnal mind replace living by faith. So all of these things. We're going to talk about motivation of preaching replace the message of the cross. See, all of those things had to be dealt with. Rigid laws, norm, and regulation replace love. Entertainment replace power. So it was human ability to replace God's grace. All these things, I'm going to break them all down for you one by one. And here's one, maybe. Tradition replaced the word. See, the tradition of men have made the word of God of none effect. Isn't that something? Then class, we'll get into, I'm trying to close. Then we'll get into balancing supernatural power. Balancing how to stay balanced, because if you didn't come through the process, see what happened in July camp meeting? Man, we have all kind of stuff going on there, you know. Come, wheelchair, come see, you know. But you just move on with the Spirit of God, do what the Spirit of God says. All right, you're dismissed.